Well, folks, as you know, we are celebrating the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and his eternal life. And because of the price that he paid, our eternal life. And this morning, I just want to share a few thoughts with you, not so much a sermon, but really wanted to share with you what's on my heart and what I feel the Lord is saying. So it's a bit more of an admonition, but nevertheless, I think an important word. You know, for some people, the last 40 days or about this period, 40 days, they call it the period of Lent. Excuse me. And it's an important period where people reflect on all that Jesus did in his last days, and particularly in the last week, Holy Week, and the price that he paid. And during Lent, people fast from meals. They fast from some of the delicacies that they often have. They make their focus God. They make their focus Jesus. They discipline themselves. And maybe some of you have been observing Lent during this season as well. Not all wings of the church do, but some wings of the church do. But it's easy to think that by fasting and by praying and by, you know, suffering, if you like, by observing certain disciplines and from, you know, reserving yourself from certain kinds of activities, that somehow we might appease God and somehow we might please God. And I think there's an important part for fasting and for prayer and for discipline and so on. Don't get me wrong, these things are important, but we should not mistake them and believe that somehow every so often when things go wrong in our lives or when we feel that we need to get closer to God, that we can do that simply by prayer and fasting and by sacrifice, because no amount of sacrifice on our part can really gain our salvation. Salvation is something that God has done for us. And so we're introduced to that word in scripture called redemption. Redemption. And redemption is not really about what I can do for myself, but it's really about what God has done. It's not about the good or bad works that I do. It's not about the do's and the don'ts of my life. It's not about what I can give to God or what I can give up, but it's really about what Christ has done for me, what Christ has done on the cross. It's really about Christ's work, Christ's grace, Christ's sacrifice, and Christ's initiative. It's God's work in God's way. It's God's mercy and God's grace. It's God's gift that brings us to eternal life, and that brings us into the church. And so it's not about what we have done, but it's really about what God has done. There is an old-fashioned word that we seem to have lost from our English dictionary. It's a word that we don't often repeat or discuss, and it's the word repentance. It's somewhat of a foreign word for us today. But repentance is really at the center of the gospel, at the heart of the gospel. All the minor prophets spoke about repentance. All the major prophets spoke about repentance, the need for us to come to God with a changed heart and a changed mind. And so repentance was the message of Jesus. He commenced his ministry with those words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, unless you become converted, unless you repent and become converted and be changed and become like these little children, you will in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So repentance is at the heart of the gospel. And, you know, for some people, it is about Easter bunnies and it is about chocolate during this season. And it is about parties and raves and, under normal circumstances, office drinks to celebrate the Easter bank holiday weekend. And for others, it's about the cross and the symbolisms some sort of holy observation during this holy week. But for us, it's more than that. It's more than just a Passover. It's more than just an Easter bunny or chocolate and eggs. It's more than just a bank holiday weekend. For us, it's about the salvation of our souls. And we must remember that at the center of this salvation message is the importance of our repentance, the importance of us turning away from our wicked ways, turning away from our faults, and from our failings. We must remember that on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus preached about repentance, the disciples picked up the message, and Peter preached his first message was about repentance, the importance of turning away, of of being repentant about our sins. Stephen, when he preached before he was executed, he preached about repentance. And of course, Paul, one of those who persecuted the church, he came along and what did he speak about? He spoke about repentance. Repentance is at the center of the Easter message. Repentance is at the center of the crucifixion, that Jesus died for our sins so that we could repent of our sins and we would be forgiven because the price would already have been paid. Repentance is at the center of the resurrection message. And we cannot be Christians without this notion, without the action of repentance. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have a repentant heart, or are you merely celebrating Easter? Are you merely rejoicing in the fact that Jesus died for you? And are we forgetting somehow then that there's something that we need to do? We don't need to do all the works, but what we do need to do is repent of our sins. And repentance brings about action. We'll go further. So repentance is more than remorse. It's not merely remorse. It's not just being sorry for our sins. Remember the rich young ruler in the parable that Jesus told? The rich young ruler, when he was told, you know, Jesus told him, you know, sell everything that you have and come and follow me. The rich young ruler had remorse. He had remorse, but he was unwilling to change. He was unwilling to exchange his old life for a new life. So we know that being remorseful is not enough. Being remorseful is not enough. Repentance, secondly, is not simply regret. Regret. If you remember Pontius Pilate, when he judged Jesus and he went to the crowd to ask them for their opinion, for their what they felt about it, and they said, crucify him. Pontius Pilate was filled with regret, so much so that he washed his hands and said, this man is innocent and his blood is not on my shoulders. And the crowds cried out, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And Pontius Pilate held his head down in great regret. Many of us today may regret our sins. We may regret our shortcomings. We may regret our failings. But repentance necessitates, it demands, it commands more than just regret. It's not enough just for us to regret our sins, just for us to regret the things that we're doing wrong. It takes more than that. So repentance is not remorse, solely remorse. Repentance is not solely regret. I'm sure those elements are part of it, but it's not the complete picture. Thirdly, repentance is not just reform, not just reform. Judas did a terrible thing when he betrayed Christ and he sold Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. But when Judas had done what he did and he realized what he had done and how terrible it was, Judas was filled with remorse. He was filled with regret and he tried to reform. He went back and he threw away the 30 pieces of silver. He wanted to give it back to those that gave it to him. They said to him, it's your problem. You know, what is it to do with us? And although he was filled with remorse, that wasn't enough because he went and took his own life. Instead of repenting and saying, Jesus, forgive me, God, forgive me, I've done an evil thing. He confessed his sin, but he didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't give his life to Jesus. He didn't give his life to God. He didn't entrust his life into God's hands. And so he took everything into his own hands and it resulted in him committing suicide. There are many today that can't find a way to appease for their sins and they take it into their own hands and it leads to ill health. It can even lead in extreme cases to suicide, but we don't need to go that far. We simply have to call out to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I'm wretched and I'm undone, but Lord, would you wash me? Would you cleanse me? And as Jesus said to one or two people, go your way and sin no more. Once we have been forgiven, we then turn away from our sins and we walk in a new direction. So what is repentance? Repentance really is a few things. It's the change of one's mind. It results in a change of will, and a change of will leads to a change in action. And so if we are truly repentant, then our actions, our conduct, our behavior will be different. Repentance means to change your mind, to change your mind about your sin, to acknowledge that your sin is not just your weakness, it's not just your vice, it's not just your habit, it's not just something that you confess and laugh off. but that your sin, that my sin, is very serious. It's our sins that put Jesus on the cross. And so we need to change our mind about our sin and realize that every time we sin, it is a serious matter. It is something that we need to take to God. It is something that we need to acknowledge. Some of us have got into habitual sin, and there are things that we may be doing that, you know, are just part of our pastime, and we feel that, you know, somehow I can't help myself. But we need to understand that our sin is serious and our sin can separate us from God. Repentance really is a change, to change your mind about yourself. Change your mind about your sin, but change your mind also about yourself, your conduct. You cannot please God through your own efforts. There's no righteousness, there's no good in me. You know, one of the things I've got used to, and I've trained myself to get used to, it's to apologize to people when I'm wrong, or to apologize to people when I offend. You know, I may offend and not know it, not realize it. I've got pretty thick skin. I'm not easily offended. And so I don't suppose, you know, sometimes I don't realize that I'm offending somebody in something I say, or if I speak my mind. I'm not a touchy person. You know, I've quite thick skinned, as I said. So sometimes I rub up against people, I say things, and then I acknowledge that the person is hurt, or the person is offended. You know, but I see every time I apologize, I feel that I grow stronger. I grow stronger in character because I've taught myself the discipline that when you apologize, you humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, you become stronger in character. So for me, it's not a thing of defeat. It's a thing of victory, to acknowledge that you're flawed in nature, to acknowledge that you have weaknesses, to acknowledge that it's not about you, to acknowledge that, you know, without God's grace and without his example, that your sinful life, my sinful life, is just a bad example. Everything that's good in me is what God has done in me. So we need to change our minds about our sin, but we also need to change our minds about ourselves. Not to take ourselves too seriously, not to find it so difficult to admit when we're wrong, not to find it so difficult to submit to others and to serve others, but to acknowledge that this life is not about you. It's not about me. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for Jesus. So to change our mind is to change our mind about our sin, to change our mind about ourselves, but also to change our minds about our Savior. To acknowledge that Jesus is not just, you know, a storyteller. Jesus wasn't just a good man. Jesus wasn't just a prophet. Jesus is more than a teacher, more than a prophet. Jesus is the Son of the living God, who clothed himself in human flesh, who came in his humanity to serve us and to grant us salvation. To understand that Jesus is the central figure in the Godhead, that he is the central character in time and history. To acknowledge that without Jesus, there is no life. There is no future. That he is our all in all. That in him we live and move and have our being. And finally, I want to say that if we really believe in Jesus, if we're really disciples of Jesus, then we will do what Jesus called us to do. Jesus gave us a command. It wasn't a request. It wasn't a hope. It wasn't a wish. He gave us a command. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. We've got to ask ourselves as individuals, and we've got to ask ourselves as a church, are we really going about our Father's business? It wasn't God's idea for us to build a wonderful church and have a wonderful name and a couple of wonderful pastors and some wonderful elders and some wonderful songs and some wonderful drama and a wonderful brand and some great marketing. God had something much more in mind than that. Even without all of those things, the commission is to go into the world and make disciples, to win people from, turn people's lives around and snatch them from the pits of hell and bring them into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so to be a disciple is to be a little Christ-like one, to preach and to teach the gospel in all that we do, in every forum that we're in. Now, there may be some places where, you know, we don't get paid to preach the gospel. You're at work. They're not paying you to preach the gospel. They're paying you to do a job. And so you do your job. You're not going to spend all your time preaching to people, but you can demonstrate your faith by what you do and how you interact and how you share and how you love and how you sacrifice. You can demonstrate Christ in so many ways. And so I want to ask you today, I want to challenge you today, is this Easter message more than just what people do in this season? Are we really accepting the call that God has placed on us, the call that God has placed on your life to preach the gospel, to win souls, to demonstrate the love of God wherever you can, to everyone that you can? Remember what Jesus said, for as much as you have done it to me. And so, you know, it's our responsibility to remember the sick, to remember the homeless, to remember the poor, to remember those who are downtrodden and cast down, and to remember those who are stooped in sin and bound in their lifestyles. And we should have compassion, enough compassion, not to judge and just criticize, but to actually be moved into doing something. And there are many ways that we can do that. Not all of us are going to be street preachers. Not all of us are going to preach from a pulpit. Not all of us are going to go on the road and knock doors. But we can all share the gospel in one way or another. So at this time of Easter, let us remember what God has called us to do. He's called us to be disciples, not just to be a church, but to be disciples and to win people for him. Now, we may not want a large church and we may not need a large church, but there's one thing I'm constantly reminded of, that the gospel says that God rathers not the death of a sinner, but that all should come to repentance. And how can they hear without a preacher? We need to go. We've been sent and we need to go. And so it's our job to share the gospel. And so as we look forward to the new year, the year ahead of us, this is the end of the financial year around about now and the start of a new financial year. And I think in the Jewish calendar, we're now approaching or have approached the beginning of a new year. Let us think differently about this new year in these last days, in these times. So many signs around us, so many prophetic words being given, so many people believing that we are in the last days, that we are coming to the end. Well, if that is the case, then we need to do our work more urgently. We need to reach more people and we need to love more people. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in this season, as we remember you, we remember that you came for a purpose. You came for a reason. You came to win souls. You came to populate heaven. You came to save people from themselves and from the pending destruction. Help us to live our lives in such a way, Lord, that we care about people, that we care about souls, that we care about the lost. Not only do we care about them, Lord, but that not only do we care about them, Lord, but that we will act accordingly, that we will move accordingly, and that we will win many for you. So, Lord, we pray, do something special in our lives. Fill us with boldness. Direct us and show us the way in which we can live for you, the ways in which we can share the gospel, the ways in which we can make a difference. So that, Lord, many souls can be won to you, so that there can be a harvest and your kingdom will be populated. Make us true disciples, we pray. Give us all we need as we obey you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.